Well, over the past 6 weeks or so, a group of us have had the privilege to gather together and to share the experience of Alpha. An Alpha course is a course that introduces the basics of Christian faith, with the opportunity to explore the deeper truths, the deeper meaning of life. Alpha asks these big questions. And through the teaching material and our discussions, we attempt to answer them. Or sometimes, as we have done many times over the past couple of weeks, we circle back to the fact that perhaps we don't have all the answers, and that's okay. This is not the first time that I have done the Alpha course, and I hope in my life it's not the last. I hope I get to do it many more times. Because, you know, as I've sat with new people, with familiar faces, with Kylie and the other facilitators, I have had a fresh revelation of who God is. And in week three, we asked this question, why did Jesus have to die? I've asked that question many times in my life before, at least 31 Easters, if not more. But once again, I found myself completely mesmerized and perhaps a little overwhelmed at the weight and the depth of the love that has been poured out for me. This same love that has been poured out for each one of you here at the cross. And there is something beautiful in this practice in the church of coming together, of joining each and every year to reflect, to remember, to draw our hearts back to the sacrifice of Jesus. And it's my hope this morning that whether this is your first Easter or your 100th, no matter how many times you've asked that question, that something significant would happen in your heart and your mind today. Perhaps it already has as we enter into this place once again with each other. Let me pray. A loving God, we thank you for today. We thank you for all that it means. And ultimately today, as we look towards the crown of thorns, we thank you for that as well. We thank you for the depth and the height of the love that you poured out for us through the sacrifice of Jesus so that we could each walk in freedom. And this morning we ask that you would reveal yourself anew to us, that you would continue to transform us, that you would continue to help us to comprehend the depth of your love for us. Amen. So this morning we move along in our journey from last Sunday, crown him with palms. The triumphal entry of the Saviour, and then how much changes in a week. People laid the palms, they shouted, Hosanna. And here we are at the place today where Jesus wears a crown of thorns. This passage that we're focusing on this morning is literally titled, The Soldiers Mock Jesus. Matthew 27:27 says that the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him. They put a scarlet robe on him and then they twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and then they knelt in front of him and mocked him. Hail the King of the Jews, they said. The Message paraphrase says, Bravo, King of the Jews. How condescending is that? They give him these symbols of royal authority. You know, often we look at this crown, and if you haven't seen this beautiful image, I hope you'll take a moment to come and to take that in today. But we look at this crown of thorns, and we look at it, and to us it seems like it's just another instrument of torture in this horrible ideal. And yes, I'm assuming it would have been painful. Probably just exacerbated the injuries of an already beaten man. But you know, this was actually just one of the many, many ways that Jesus was mocked and humiliated by the soldiers. You see, the emperor's robe that they handed to him represents it's this scarlet cloak of Roman soldiers. The scepter that they give him to carry is made out of reed, but it represents something royal. And the crown of thorns was meant to represent the crowns of Greek kings, Roman rulers. In fact, it was likely designed as an imitation of crowns that were representative of the sun's rays, so the thorns were likely sticking outwards. And then they shout, "All hail the King of the Jews," which is paralleled to a greeting of a Roman emperor, "Hail Caesar." It's this mock coronation, if you like. But we know that the story operates on two levels. This crown of thorns, it was intended for humiliation, for mockery, to demonstrate the power of Rome, to show this supposedly rejected Messiah. But actually, this proclamation that was meant to humiliate was true. The King of the Jews, the King of all, the fulfillment of prophecy, of scripture. And then the scripture goes on to tell us in verse 30 that they spit on him, they took the staff and they struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe, they put his own clothes on him, and they led him away to crucify him. What did Jesus do? Nothing. Nothing. Have you ever imagined what Jesus saw in these moments? Do you really think he could look forward to the future? Do you really think in that moment he could see what was to come? Or was he in his humanness drowning in the mockery, in the pain, in the abuse? I'm not sure. But I suspect that the hope of the future that he knew might have been buried down in that moment. I suspect it would have been pretty dark. But you know, today I think there is something in that for us. That Jesus walked this path on the way to his crucifixion when life must have seemed so out of control, so painful, so messy, so humiliating, so impossible to trust and have hope. How often are we too in that place? I think there is some comfort in knowing that the God that we follow, the God that we have hope in, understands our human experience. And it's important for us today that we sit here, that we sit in that space of pain, in the mockery, just for a moment in the mess, in the confusion. And if that's where you sit today, I want to tell you that that's okay. But today, I'm so grateful that this journey towards the cross is not the end of the story. It wasn't the end of Jesus' story. It's not the end of your story. It's not the end of my story. Because like that crown over there, it will soon be flipped into one of glory. The King of the Jews comes to take his throne. Rejected, abandoned, hanging on a cross, and above his head, verse 37 says, they place a written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. It was intended to mock him, to shame him, but actually it was a proclamation of the truth. Here is the Messiah, the Son of God, the King of the Jews, the King of all people. And right here at the foot of the cross, in the words of Nikki Gumbel, it is not a reversal of defeat, but a manifestation of victory. It is not a reversal of defeat, but a manifestation of victory. Evil, pain, the mess in our lives does not have the last word, because we know what is to come. And if you're sitting in pain and mess today, be assured that we follow a Saviour who is all too familiar with sitting in that place. He doesn't run from it. He sits with us there. But it does not have the final word, because we know what is to come. But you know, this, despite the fact that this passage wrestles with such pain and mess and rejection, it also gives us small glimpses of hope along the way. And if you've read, I'm sure many of you have before, the passion narratives throughout the Gospels, you see these secondary, almost insignificant characters who appear, and they perform small gestures along the way. People who share in Jesus' pain and his suffering, people that remind him that he is not alone. And I love that in our scripture today, in verse 32, we read of a man. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. Simon of Cyrene is mentioned in 3 out of the 4 Gospels, and really, he didn't just step into this story, he was dragged into it. Scripture tells us that he was a passerby coming from the country. Cyrene was a city, an African city on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. And in that point in time, there was quite a large Jewish community there. Simon of Cyrene was a pilgrim who had made this journey to the city of Jerusalem to participate in all that the Passover celebrations would have had to offer. It is highly unlikely on that day that Simon of Cyrene would have been excited about what was happening to him. In fact, it's almost certain that he would have felt as Jesus felt, mocked, humiliated. Being forced to carry the cross on a practical level made him unclean, meant he couldn't participate in ceremonies of the Passover that he'd come so far to engage with. But here he is, carrying the cross of Jesus. Sort of an image that echoes the words that Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 16:24, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. So why does this image of Simon of Cyrene matter? Well, sometimes we find a glimpse of hope in others. When we can't lift our eyes, when we can't figure out what's next in our darkness or in our pain, when we feel like everything is against us, there is a glimpse of hope in others, in people that come alongside us. And we have that great privilege of entering into that space with other people. Because today, perhaps you come into this place and you don't feel fearful. You don't feel mocked. You don't feel pain. Maybe life is light and easy for you today, and you are so secure in the hope that Jesus offers. And I'm glad about that. But then I want to ask you, are you being that glimpse of hope for others? Jesus carried the weight of our pain and our sin, and he still does that. Yet even as a man, he needed other people along the journey. And sometimes we, as people who know Jesus and the hope and the love that is poured out for us, we are called to be glimpses of hope in the lives of people around us. to help them to lift their eyes, to help them to see what could be when everything around them seems bleak and miserable. I love that we have this privilege as we walk alongside people in the church, as we walk alongside people in our communities, in our lives, whether they're close to Jesus or far from him, to pick something up, maybe not a cross, but to carry it, to be a glimpse of hope, to make known this sacrifice, this love that is poured out, and that everyone can experience the hope and the freedom of something better because we know what is to come. And so this morning, we're going to have an opportunity to reflect on those two things. As we focus today on the crown of thorns, we have some reminders down here. A reminder of this part of the story. Because just as Easter Sunday is so important for us, so is today. But it's not just a reminder of the pain and of the suffering, but of this subversion of the mockery and humiliation that leads us from this side to this, to the crown of glory. All hail the King of the Jews, because in this King we have hope. And so this morning we are going to sing a declaration that Christ is all that we need. Perhaps you don't feel like that quite yet, but it's our prayer that this morning you would come before him and experience something of the love that is offered. And just as Jesus walked that dark path towards the cross, today we too declare that where we can't see, we will trust. In the mess, in the pain, in the suffering, or perhaps when we're in those good places, the call to be a glimmer of hope for others, to help them see, to help them to trust. So this morning, as we reflect upon these beautiful words, I'm going to invite each one of you to take a moment. And the invitation is given to come and grab some thorns. Be careful as you do that. But to just take this as a memento. Maybe you need to take it with you as a reminder today. Or perhaps some of you might like to come and just lay them at the foot of the cross. The opportunity is given as we sing to come and kneel here at the mercy seat or here at the cross to lay your life down once again, to thank Jesus for his sacrifice, to ask him to reveal more of himself to you and the depth of his love. Perhaps today you need to come with someone that is near you. Maybe you need to be the glimmer of hope for someone else and you might need to bring them. But this morning as we reflect, the invitation is given to come, to take a moment and to reflect with Jesus.